From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm your guest host, Scott Pukas. Our connection this hour was made in 2016. Nearly 8 years ago to this very day, I adopted the Great Catsby from Verona Street in Rochester. Catsby is a tuxedo cat, and she's equal parts chaotic rascal and cute companion. On that day, 8 years ago, I truly became a cat person, joining millions of people who adore everything about our feline friends. In 2019, another cat person had an idea. While people love cats, they really love cat content. Videos of them being silly little guys, getting into the most adorable type of trouble, or delivering the kind of cuteness that makes even the staunchest curmudgeons smile. Will Braden took this admiration for kitty content and founded Cat Video Fest, a yearly compilation of viral cat videos, short films, and more. Cat Video Fest returns to Rochester this weekend, August 3rd and 4th at the Little Theater. Tickets available at thelittle.org. This hour, we're going to talk about all things cats, videos, and why they may be more popular than dogs or even other family members. I'd like to welcome our guest, Vicky Pape, Director of Animal Placement at Lollipop Farm.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. We have Johnny Denman, co-owner of the Positive Cat Cafe, just down the road from the Little on East Avenue. Welcome.
Greetings.
And I think we're joined by phone by Will Braden, director of Cat Video Fest and proud cat guy. Will, are you on with us?
I'm here. I'm purring so loudly right now. It's great.
Welcome. So, Will, I'm going to start with you. I hear Cat Video Fest was featured in New York Times.
Yes, we were in the print edition and online today of sort of what to do in August and for kids and for people in the New York area and abroad. So that's very cool. It's really nice when we get to be in legitimate publications as well, because it makes me feel like, oh, this isn't just a funny little thing. This is, people take it seriously, you know,
yes.
As well they should. It's cat video.
So I mentioned in the intro, this started in 2019, but you know, every year I work at the Little. Every year people ask me about Cat Video Fest. Can you explain the origin story to us? How did this come about?
Yeah, so the first Cat Video Festival was in 2012, and that was started by the Walker Arts Center in Minneapolis. And they just had this outdoor area and a program, and they decided they would just show some cat videos and see what happened. And about 11,000 people showed up. And it just took off, and a short film that I made about Henri, a depressed French existential cat, won the Golden Kitty Award that year, the audience award. And so I just dug my claws in and decided I'm just going to keep being a part of this. So I started curating the reel for them. And then in 2015, they stepped away and did two other projects. So I took over and based it in Seattle. And then in 2019, as you mentioned, we partnered with Oscilloscope, who does our theatrical distribution. So it just sort of took off from there. So every year I watch 15,000 cat videos and come up with the best stuff.
Living the dream, right?
Right. My business cards say I watch cat videos.
So how do you get this content down to enough to have a 75-minute movie? I mean, there must be so much that you can't fit into this film, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, there has to be something special, something touching, something funny or unusual or surprising. We get a lot of submissions, but I also just have to scour the internet in every corner, from every country, everywhere, and every social media in place I can find, just to find all the best stuff. But I really want it to be like, if you think, oh, I watch cat videos all the time, I'm the biggest consumer of them, you're still going to see a bunch of stuff you've never seen before. That's part of the decision-making process.
So you're like a detective scouring the internet for cat content. I mean, this is great stuff.
A useless detective in the traditional sense, but a very fun detective in that sense. Yeah.
So you'd mentioned the short films with Henri, which are some of my favorite. Can you expand a little on that? I think that always gets one of the biggest laughs each year.
It was really just like a lot of things in my professional life, if you can even call it professional, was just right time and right place. And I was in film school in 2006 at the Seattle Film Institute, and we had an assignment to do a video profile of someone, and I had procrastinated and didn't have time. And I was house sitting for my mom, and she has this beautiful black and white tuxedo cat. And I thought, oh, I'll do a profile of a house cat, and that'll, you know, But he didn't do anything. So there was nothing to profile. So I had to create this character, and it parodied a lot of the sort of French New Wave films that we've been watching in class. And I thought, if I made it funny enough, they won't notice I didn't follow the assignment. And it worked. I got an A, and that just sort of became the genesis of all of the cat video things. And I think it works because all of us like to project all these different character traits onto our cats, and we give them these sort of backstories and different alternative names and personalities beyond just the regular cat stuff. So the Henri videos just take that to a ridiculous extreme for comedy. Mm-hmm.
Our guests in studio were nodding to that comment about adding personality to the cats.
Definitely.
I'm sure the viewers were as well.
It's true. They all have names, but then they all have like titles, you know, like sort of.
So how many cats do you have at the moment?
I only have one cat. My wife is really wanting to get another kitten, but I have a cat that I've had for a long time. She's, I think, 12 now, and people always ask, like, do you put her in the reel? Does she do it? I'm like, man, she just kind of sleeps and just chills. She's a standard issue cat. So I just have one. Maybe at some point I'll expand, but I get to see enough cats all the time that just having one is enough for me in real life.
How long does it take to edit down and create and direct Cat Video Fest? I mean, are you taking like months to do this? Is this a full year? What's the process of that?
Yeah, it's a good question because it's sort of in three parts. Throughout the year, people are submitting things and of their own, and also just saying, hey, I saw this, you have to see it. And then I'm sort of scouring things. And I just kind of keep this huge database, this huge Excel spreadsheet of just everything I've seen and where I saw it and notes about it and ideas I've had so that I can remember it later. And then a few months before I have to have the reel finished, I start sort of culling it down and piecing things together and seeing which things could work. And then I start contacting the content creators and getting permissions and things like that. And then the funnest part now with Oscilloscope is they need about a month lead time to get things out to theaters and to make what's called the digital cinema package, which Scott, I'm sure you know what that is, yep. A lot of people might not know. It's sort of like the digital version of like an old school film reel that has to go to theaters. So because of that, I make the reel and send it off to them, and then I have like a month before there's any shows. And that's when I feel like, okay, I don't have anything to edit. Even if I find a new cat video, I can't put it in because it's already locked in. So I just have to kind of be nervous about shows for a month.
Nervous and excited though, right?
Yeah, nervous, excited.
Have you ever had a situation though where you've finished the film and then you see like the perfect cat video falls into your lap and you have to save it for next year?
Absolutely. That happens constantly. And it happens constantly too, where I'll literally will send it off to online and to Oscilloscope. And then like 2 hours later, someone will be like, if this isn't too late, here's a picture of my cat that can do backflips and juggle. And I'm like, ah, come on. but there's always, that's the great part of Cat Video Fest is there's always next year. So it doesn't really feel like it's too big a missed opportunity.
For those just joining us here on Connections, we are talking about All Cats this hour. Cat Video Fest coming to the Little Theater this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You can get tickets at thelittle.org. I'm joined by Will Braden, who is the director of Cat Video Fest and a proud cat guy, Vicky Pape, director of animal placement at Lollipop Farm, and Johnny Debbin, the co-owner of the Positive Cat Cafe on East Avenue. So, Will, I do have, I think, one of the biggest questions I get about Cat Video Fest every year is, how do I submit my film? I want my cat on the big screen. How do I do this? Can you tell us?
Yes. So I want it to be extremely easy for people to submit videos because every video has the potential to make it in and to have some, you know, slice of gold in there, or I suppose I should say nugget of gold. So if you just go to catvideofest.com, there's all different pieces of information about shows and all these other things, but there's a link for submissions. And if it's online anywhere, you can link to it. It doesn't have to be on YouTube. You don't have to upload it or anything like that. You can just tell me where the link is and I can see it. So You can submit it any time of the year, any time, day or night, and I promise I see every single submission. So it's my job.
I'm going to go to our guest here. So, Vicky, do you have cats, and would you submit a video? Are they Cat Video Fest worthy?
Oh, my gosh. Of course I have cats. I have three cats, and I will say my youngest, his name is Cookie, and he is a crazy man. He's a crazy orange boy, so some of our cat people will relate to that, but he could definitely be on a video. My other two, I have an 18-year-old, so he likes to sleep a lot. So I don't know. He's pretty cute, though. He could make it. So, yeah, I think Cookie could totally get a video.
And we could call it Did It All for the Cookie.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes right now.
Yeah.
Cookie's going to be a star.
We joke, you were talking about nicknames. We joke that he has an alter ego, the Cookie Monster, when he starts being a crazy man.
There you go. That's perfect.
I wish we could have brought cats in the studio. That would have made my day a lot better. Could just have a litter box in the corner. Yeah. It would be fine. So, Johnny, you obviously have a lot of cats within the cafe. Do you have cats of your own as well?
Yes, we have five at home, and plus four of the resident cats. So I guess technically I own nine cats over two buildings.
Nice, you win.
Yeah,
classic stuff.
But at what cost? there's many of those cats. I mean, we have our social media alone is just us messing around with the cats at the cat cafe, and their crazy hijinks and antics.
I love that.
Yeah, we have some that will just, you know, we have about a 1,650 square foot space, so it's long too, so you get one that'll run from one end to the other, to the other, to the other, and just sit there like, please don't run over me, I'm working.
People watch cafe content because they just imagine themselves surrounded by cats and just go, oh God, this must be the perfect job, and then they don't realize how hard it must be to actually, you know, run a business like that and all the other things that come along with it. But yeah, on social media, you just get to watch it and go, this seems like a dream job. You know, there's no bills, there's no nothing. It's just cats for a little
while. My heavens, we get that at least like three or four times an hour. It's like, oh, this must be the best job ever. And again, it has its moments. Yeah.
So yeah. Will, I'm hearing you want to open a cat cafe.
I mean, there's a couple in Seattle that are really fun and I love it, but I'm just too lazy. I really love my job because I can do it sort of all on my own time and half on my phone and my iPad and on my computer. And I can sort of be hanging out with my kid and just kind of, I take a huge part of the summer off. My wife's elementary school teacher, public school teacher here in Seattle. So if I had a cat cafe, I would want to be there all the time, but I'm just too lazy. That's why I don't even have a dog. You have to get up and walk him.
Just too lazy to make an entire movie about cats, of course.
Well, I've sort of found my niche, which is just like a lot of work, but on my own terms, whereas I imagine a cat cafe is on the cat's terms.
100%. I'm there even when I don't think I should be there.
They run the show. That's fair. So we're talking about, of course, the entertainment value of Cat Video Fest. But one thing we haven't mentioned, and one of my favorite parts, is that also this is used to help raise awareness for cat shelters and to raise money for cat shelters. How did you make that decision, Will, that this is part of the stipulation for movie theaters to screen this, that you also have to help out a cat shelter?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is part of the DNA. I mean, we have had offers here and there to have different kinds of shows where for one reason or another, it just wasn't able to have a partner. And we just had to pass on it because it isn't just a bonus. It's kind of truly part of the genetic makeup of what Cat Video Fest is that we are in a local community. We are in a local theater. It's almost always a great sort of independent theater. Not all of them have a cool history as a little theater, but it's often something like that. And then we're always benefiting a local shelter or a local humane society, animal welfare organization. And because of that, it feels like there's this sort of synergy, to use it, you know, BS business term, that makes everything work. And if you subtract any one component of that, it just wouldn't work. And cat people love to help. There are never a shortage of cats that need to be fostered, adopted, helped, and neutered, or anything. And so there's never going to be no more cat videos. There's never going to be no more cats that could be helped. And I hope there's never going to be no indie movie theaters. So because of this thing, it all has to sort of work together. And yeah, it just, it is a part of why it's successful, and it wouldn't be what it is without that. Mm.
And I should mention, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Will, but the only place you can watch Cat Video Fest is movie theaters, right? There aren't any other releases?
Yeah. No, it never streams anywhere. We never even make DVDs or anything like that. It's part of the agreement too that I have with people that make the videos, which is, you know, I want people to come out of the theater and then go and see your video online where it was, so you can get the views and the attention and all that. And also, it's just that we can already watch cat videos at home. You know, mm-hmm. being able to watch it in a theater with other people is just a whole different experience. It's like, and people ask me, tongue in cheek sometimes, I've gotten people in the press say, like, why should we come to the theater to watch this? Because we can watch these on our phone at home. And it's a bit like saying, you know, why would you see Elvis Costello in concert when you have his songs on your iPod? It's a whole different experience. So, yeah, in theaters is the only way. It never is going to be streaming anywhere. Mm-hmm.
And I think that communal experience too, when you're with hundreds of people just crying, laughing at some of these silly videos and all saying, yeah, in unison, like, that really is quite the experience.
Yeah, and the diversity of the audiences is mm-hmm. great too. Cats are universal, and so the audiences for the shows are universal too. I mean, it's kids and older people and younger people and hipsters and people on first dates and everything. And you know, that's part of what's fun, is that you know that these are your people. We're all here enjoying this unironically and just here to let the cat videos wash over us.
Yeah, Cat Video Fest, you heard it. Good date idea, good for the family. Playing this weekend, August 3rd and 4th at the Little, tickets at thelittle.org. So you were just kind of talking on this a little, Will, but this is a family-friendly movie as well. It's good for all ages.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's G-rated. I think there's one issue where someone drops something and says the S word and I bleep it out. But other than that, it's not even close to being anything scary or offensive or anything. So, yeah, a huge part of our audience is children. And you know, we like, besides Pixar movies, there aren't so many things you can do with your kids that you're going to have a great time too, and not just be sitting there going, okay, when is this animated thing going to be over? So the idea that it could be fun for everybody is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. So we in the past, and all, I don't know if it's the same this year, but the film is broken up into different segments: drama, mm-hmm. comedy. Can you explain a little bit about the structure, and is it the same this year?
Yeah, it's very slightly different, but yeah, it's similar in structure. And I found early on that if you just have 75 minutes of just rapid fire cat videos, it's fun, but it's kind of exhausting. Mm-hmm. And it also makes people at the end of it go, that was a lot. But, you know, it made it feel like someone was behind the screen in the theater just hitting next on a YouTube playlist. So I decided it really has to have an ebb and flow. It has to have changes of pace and changes of tone. And so some of the category, no pun intended, differentiations are kind of arbitrary. Something is in drama, but it's comedic. Something is in comedy, but it's dramatic. But I do really try to section it out. I mean, there's action adventure categories. There's a documentary category where it's all sort of, you know, things that people have sort of captured about cats out in the wild or rescues or, you know, things like that. But then there's always sections of just cat gifts where I just go, okay, you've been good and there's all these different patients. Now you're going to get like 6 or 7 minutes of just boom, 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 where you can't even catch your breath from laughing for that bit. So, yeah.
So a little bit of everything. You said no puns intended, but I just want to be clear. We're very open to puns this hour. If we have cat puns.
I should have said pun intended. I was just kidding.
Oh, well done.
Someone said perfect earlier, and I'm like, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Cat puns are welcome at Cat Video Fest. I really feel all I mean, my cat's name again is the Great Gatsby, so of course I like cat puns.
You like puns.
Yeah, she's very cute. I was originally pitched to just talk about my cat for an hour for the show. That was not, we had to revise it a little, I guess, but I could.
I mean, you could have gotten away with it. I would assume that.
I know. So you were running down some stuff to expect from Cat Video Fest. Is there anything new this year that you have not had in, or anything that you're excited for?
There's one in particular that I'm telling everybody about, and it's this cat named Momo from Chicago, which is, you know, a great Chicago cat name. And his owner, his person, Sophia, does pottery, and she noticed that Momo would start messing with the pottery as she was doing it, scratching and, like, you know, just sort of pawing at it, and she thought it was kind of funny, so she started filming it. And then people started going, well, I want that pottery that Momo's making. So she started encouraging him to start, like, making his own, kind of scratching it and stuff. And now she's sold out for, like, months, and it's, like, becoming this huge thing, and she's having this huge moment. And I just been watching her since before it kind of blew up, and I loved it. And so she's in the reel this year. She's going to be at the Chicago shows, and you can watch Momo make this cat pottery art. To me, that's a perfect kind of thing to see in the video, which is like this intersection of fun and commerce and art and creativity and cats and people. And so that's the one that I'm most excited to see in a theater with a bunch of people to watch their reaction.
I think I would pay any amount of money for cat pottery. Yeah. I was like, there is no place.
Clearly,
on
everyone
it.
Else is too. She's sold out until September. So yeah.
Are there any other short films we can expect? Like, I know Simon's Cat has been in past films.
Yeah, there's always Simon's Cat because it's to me it's kind of this jump backwards in time to sort of an earlier time of cat videos on the internet. It was one of the first kind of takeaway big viral cat things that was accessible, and it doesn't have any speech on it, so it was sort of internationally well known, and so I always throw something like that in there. But there's also a whole bunch of music this year. There's a bunch of cats making music on every different instrument. There's you know, DJ cats. There's an endless supply of crazy things. People are going to be surprised no matter how much you think you know about cat videos.
So I think this is the question of our hour here. Why are cats so popular?
Yeah, I think that the internet running on cats is partly because people that have cats don't have as many opportunities to socialize with other cat owners as dog people do. There's no take your cat to work day. There aren't a lot of cat parks, you know. So the internet became like the de facto virtual, you know, cat park. So that's part of it. And I think also the bigger part of it is that cats have this imperious kind of look that allows us to project our own stuff onto them. And so because they can be a little bit of a blank slate, it allows there to be more funny stuff done with videos. Whereas for dogs, it's because they're so loyal and we kind of respect them so much, we don't want to see them get taken down a peg. Whereas cats, we know they want us to get taken down a peg. So we feel like it's okay to watch that happen to them.
All right, we're going to take a break in a second. We have to let you go, Will. But first, can you just give us, is there anything that you want people to know about Cat Video Fest? One pitch, if someone's on the fence about seeing it, what do they need to know?
I have never, my elevator pitch is this. I have never had anybody come out of Cat Video Fest not having had a good time. But many times I've had people say to me afterwards, my wife brought me here. I didn't know what to expect, but I've never laughed so much. So if you are on the fence, I would say, I promise you, just go. You'll have a great time. And you will be helping cats.
Thank you so much, Will. We appreciate your work. We're looking forward to Cat Video Fest in Rochester at the Little Theater. So again, thank you to Will Braden, director of Cat Video Fest. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back with more connections after this spot.
I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, our colleague Gino Finelli hosts the program. He'll have conversations both hours with members of the City of Rochester. We'll talk about local issues. You can join the conversation in ways that you always do, no matter who is hosting. And on Monday, it's our colleague Gino Finelli. Join us then.
Welcome back to Connections. We are talking about cats this hour. All things feline. Cat Video Fest playing at the Little Theater this weekend, August 3rd and 4th. Tickets available at thelittle.org. I am joined by Vicky Pape, Director of Animal Placement at Lollipop Farm, and Johnny Denman, co-owner of the Positive Cat Cafe on East Avenue. So can you tell us, you know, we were talking about in the first half hour about Cat Video Fest. A portion of the proceeds for the little screenings are going to Lollipop. Can you tell us, Vicky, a little bit about cat adoptions? If there is any, best time of year to adopt a cat, or what's the most popular time of year?
All times of year are good times to adopt a cat. Answer first question.
Of course.
But I will say, in the summer, we get so many cats flooding into the shelter. Through June and July alone, we had almost 600 cats come to our shelter. And we could have had more if we weren't trying to work with the community to keep the cats that they are able to keep. So we just have an insane amount of cats that are looking for new homes. So definitely think about, in the summer, if you're thinking about maybe a new cat or kitten, that we have plenty of wonderful cats and kittens waiting to meet you.
So, Johnny, what is the most popular time of year for you in terms of cat adoptions, if there is one?
It's usually actually kind of like right around now, like the early part of the summer, because it's what in the rescue industry we call kitten season, mm-hmm. where a lot of the spring kittens are finally vaccinated, spayed or neutered, and can find homes. And we at one point had 10 kittens in there at one time, which is, it on paper it sounds, oh, this is going to be a really fun time, until you're on the side that's taking care of all of the kittens and, you know, the everything that goes along with that. But it's usually right about now, okay. Like early part of the summer. And then there's a little bit of an uptick, for better or for worse, when it comes to like the holiday time, when people trying to adopt a cat as a present, which I personally don't recommend.
Okay. And so if, Vicky, I'll start with you on this one. If someone wants to adopt, but they're unsure, they're like, I don't know if I'm ready, I don't know if this is for me, is there anything people need to know before they take this big step and adopt?
Yeah, I mean, having a cat, just like any other pet, is a commitment. They are a little bit more independent than a dog typically, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they need any less care or love or attention from you. So, make sure you're ready to make that commitment to a pet, but you are going to be paid back in full with lots of love and companionship. So if you are thinking about adopting a cat, we have now two adoption centers. We have the adoption center at Lollipop Farm, and we just recently, for the season, have opened one in Greece. So I always recommend to people, if you're a little on the edge, come talk to our counselors. They can, you know, match you up with the cat that's going to be right for you, and they can talk to you more about cat adoption. As we're seeing and talking about today, there's lots of info online about getting a cat and what having a cat is like. So just make sure you're prepared for that commitment. But overall, you're going to, I almost never hear someone regret that they've adopted a cat.
Just sort of off topic, do you have any other like satellite locations anymore besides the two, like main Greece and the...
Just the Greece one right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yeah, Johnny, same question. Do you have any frequently asked questions that people often come to you with about before they adopt?
Quite a bit. And there's a lot of, like, you know, the ones that we highly recommend are, you know, things like vet care, what's going to go into, you know, that side of taking care of a cat, making sure it's going to the vet regularly, getting vaccinated, because I know a lot of the folks that'll adopt from us live in apartments and things like that, where they'll have, you know, requirements through the apartment complex for, like, oh, always needs to have rabies, FVRCP, that sort of thing. We also get a lot of, just a lot of, like, what are they like to play with and everything? Because we have a really unique situation as far as an adoption room, is that we kind of laid it out like a house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they get to kind of run around, and you get to see the cat for lack of a better word, in its natural habitat. Well, not so natural habitat, but, you know, the ones that'll like to sit up higher on cat trees, the ones that'll like to, you know, that hide in the tents that are like underneath the a table. And basically, like, you know, how to behave around a cat, because it's a lot different than a dog.
How many cats do you typically have at one time?
So we try to keep it to about 25 to 30 in the room.
Okay.
We just recently, the highest we had recently was about 35, but that was, we had a lot in because we had a lot that were going out. Mm-hmm. You know, at least that were in the pending queue. And sometimes it works out where it's like, oh, we have 35, but we're going to get rid of these five soon. And then it doesn't end up happening. We're like, okay, we have 40 cats now. This is fun.
How many permanent resident cats do you have?
We have four.
Okay. What are their names?
We have Onyx. She's my little black void. she was given to me through the cat distribution system.
Oh, love the cat distribution system.
Yep. We have Chester, who's the one that everyone loves. He's all over most of our merchandise. And then we have mother-daughter Greta, Nova and Greta.
Okay. So we're going to see them on Cat Video Fest next year?
I would hope so. Now that I know where to submit, I think I'm going to probably inundate this poor gentleman's inbox with them.
Do you ever have an issue with personalities getting along, like maybe an energetic kitten and maybe a cat that's older?
Oh, Jiminy Cricket, do we ever. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we have one kitten right now that its other nickname is Tripping Hazard, because you'll walk and it'll get underneath your foot, look up at you and go, "Mee!" But when like it meows at you, it has like this cute little look on its face. You're like, I don't want to stay mad at you. I can't. But we do have we have an 8-year-old in there right now that's been an only cat for most of its life. So it's still getting used to being around other cats, let alone kittens as well.
Yeah.
So we have what's called the blast radius, where it's like, yeah, it's okay to be around this cat if you're a cat.
That was a great cat impression, by the way.
Thank you.
We could have done that for the hour, too, just our cat impressions.
Just an hour of meowing.
Yeah.
Confuse the listeners.
I'd be okay with that. Vicky, same question. Well, first, at Lollipop, how many, I know it fluctuates a lot, but what is the standard amount of cats or kittens you have?
Yeah, there is no standard amount. It fluctuates a lot. So I can tell you, as of this morning, we had 45 cats available for adoption. But that is not all of our cats by any means. We have cats that are still working through things with our clinic. Maybe they're on stray hold. We have cats in foster care. It is kitten season, so we have lots of kittens growing up in foster care, waiting to get, you know, old enough to have their spay neuters and vaccines and all of those things. So we have cats everywhere in our offices and everywhere. But yeah, so as of this morning, we had 45 cats available for adoption. And that is higher in the summertime. In the winter, it's, you know, going to be closer to 20-ish.
I'm jealous you have office cats. I've been trying to get an office cat named MacGuffin that I could just hang out and be my little buddy. I could call them Mac for short. It's the dream that I want. That's why I'm putting it out there. So, Vicky, do you have any?
I could help you find one.
Oh, yes. I mean, both of you can.
You're in good company.
This is the right spot. Vicky, do you see any issues like with the personalities, like a kitten and an older cat, or are they not next to each other in their spot?
All cats are individuals, just like all humans are individuals. So some cats love to be with other cats. Some cats are not interested in that at all and would rather have their own space. So we do have different housing options for them based on that. We do have some larger colonies where they can be together. We have some medium-sized colonies if they have one best friend that they want to stay with, that, you know, they're looking to get adopted with, that we can do that. And then, of course, we have the offices, or what we call our condos, that we have for the cats that would rather be either alone or a group of kittens that don't need as large of a space. So we kind of try to go off of what the cat's interested in, what they would like their living situation to be like. And then also, as we're looking for a home for them, we can either share with potential new adopters, hey, you know, they really enjoyed being with other cats, or, you know, they really probably don't want to meet your cat at home. They're looking for a home to be alone. So they're all individuals.
All right. We have a call from Barbara in Brighton, who has been very patient. I appreciate that. So let's hear from her. All right. You're on air, Barbara.
Yes. Hi there. Ironically, I was calling just when your last guest was finishing, and it was to say basically what he said, which is, I encourage folks who are not cat people And, you know, they may not like cats particularly or whatever, but, or even if they're just neutral, but go to this festival. They are always hysterical. And I have become a cat video person, even though I'm not a cat person.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear.
I just wanted to add that. Thanks very much. It's a fun topic in these tough times.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Stay on the line so you can listen in, too. And thank you for calling. Have either of you gone to Cat Video Fest before?
I went the very first year, so some years ago.
Yes. I have not. I actually didn't hear about it until actually the year that we opened in 2022.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said, what is this? So let me figure out what this is. And then, of course, we're running the shop at that time, so it's kind of hard to, you know, get free of that. But we've had a lot of happy customers come from there to visit us, and you know, it looks like it was a great time.
Okay. So we touched upon this a little in our first 30 minutes, but what makes cats so popular, especially as compared to dogs or other animals? Vicky, I'll start with you. Is there a science or reason to this? Can it be explained?
This is my opinion, not a science. Let me start with that.
We'll take it as fact.
Yeah, that's right. I think that cats are so special because they love to act like they don't need us. They love to, you know, the dogs give us so much love and cats give us a lot of love too, but it's in their own way and they all have such unique personalities that I think it just makes them really special. And I think there's something about the fact that they're like, could take you or leave you a lot of times.
Yeah,
That just is so intriguing to us. And, you know, obviously their antics are just hilarious. So,
Johnny, same question.
So I feel like once the internet became about videos and everything, I think it's the way that people portray dogs and cats has allowed both sides to get more popular. Because dogs, everyone's like, oh, it's your best friend and everything. And then everyone sort of portrays cats as your lovable worst enemy. like it's the Pete to the Goofy, like the sort of thing. I just feel like everyone likes to, for some reason, I feel like cats have like this better ability to be a blank canvas to project whatever you think they're thinking onto you. Like, for example, like, oh, this, you know, this cat's grunt, like, you know, grimacing menacingly at you and you're like, oh, he's trying to plot my demise, that he's going to trick me as I go down the stairs. Meanwhile, the cat walks up to you and is like, oh, nuzzles, roll over, show the belly.
But could they secretly be plotting your demise? We need that cat psychology. So for those just tuning in, again, we're talking about cats, one of my favorite subjects this hour. I'm joined by Vicky Pape, Director of Animal Placement at Lollipop Farm, and Johnny Denman, the co-owner of the Positive Cat Cafe, right here in Rochester. So along those lines of what we were just talking about, I found this really funny. Evan Dawson, who normally hosts this program, sent me this bit from a 2006 Pew Research study. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's kind of long, but you'll see why in a second. So dogs edge cats by a nose in the human intimacy sweepstakes. Not only are dog owners slightly more likely to think of their pet as family, so too are they more inclined to describe their relationship with their pet as close rather than distant. Some 94% of dog owners say this, compared with 84% of cat owners. Needless to say, this finding won't shut down the never-ending, mostly friendly competition between dog people and cat people. To the contrary, when paired with another set of responses from the same survey, it just might open up an entirely new can of worms. It turns out when you ask adults about their parents, 87%, sorry, I couldn't make it through, 87% say they feel close to mom and 74% say they feel close to dad. So for anyone keeping score, the family intimacy standings look like this. Dog, 94%, mom, 87%, cat, 84%. And dad, 74%. Poor dads.
Oh, that caught me out. That caught me from left field. I did not see that coming.
Johnny, do you think this is accurate?
I think so. Yeah, I could see because everyone I know that owns a dog is usually like they talk about it sometimes more than they talk about their kids. So I can definitely see that, and Yeah, poor dad.
Are either of you a parent, may I ask?
Negative.
No. So I was gonna ask parent. Where you think you're. Same with me. I am a single childless cat parent. So I rank number one. Vicky, same question to you. Does this seem accurate? This study, is this spot on? Do you think?
You know, I would say in my professional adoption experience that people are very connected to their pets, both dogs and cats, and I think we do see them all as family. So it's not really surprising to me because I would rate all four of those groups in the family context.
Yeah. So. All right, we have another caller, Keith, on line two. We actually called this the other half hour, so we'll be happy to hear from him again. Hi, Keith, you're live. Go ahead.
I'd like to know, this hour seems to be about the joy of cats, and I'm not a cat person. I do think kittens are cute. But is there anything being done to address the increased population of feral cats? You know, I've seen groups that will not try to eliminate feral cats, but they'll support them, catch them, spayed them, and then they release them back in the wild, still with the ability to create the devastation that they do to the natural fauna. Mm-hmm.
So
is there anything proactively done to eliminate feral cats?
Do you want to take that one, Vicky?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that one. So I'm really glad you called because it is a concern that our community has. I was actually talking to someone downstairs in the lobby about this as well. So cats are wonderful creatures. And the best thing we can do for the cats that are living in our community, I tend to refer to them as community cats because the cats we have outside, they may be feral, which means they're not socialized, or they may be your neighbor's cat that your neighbor lets them outside. Around 40% of cat owners do let their cats be indoor, outdoor. Whether, you know, people agree with it, don't agree with it, that's what's happening in our nation. So the best thing we can do for the cats outside is to make sure that they are spayed and neutered so that they're not repopulating and continue to populate and create these large colonies. If you do have a colony in your area, oftentimes it's happening because there's a feeding source. There may be a shelter source or a water source nearby. And, you know, I would encourage people to talk to their neighbors. There are a lot of resources out there that will help provide spay and neuter for community cats, but I will tell you, as much as there are, there's not enough. The need is greater. So spay and neuter is the best thing that we can do for those populations and for not just the cat populations, but also, as you said, the flora and fauna. We do have a program at Lollipop Farm for working cats, as we call them. So they often go to barns. They could go to, breweries or warehouses.
Movie theaters.
But those are for the cats that are feral or under-socialized. So one of the things to remember is sometimes I hear that, you know, there was this cat outside and I picked it up and I want Lollipop Farm to rehome it. Well, this cat may have never experienced a human before. They may have very little experience around humans. So they are most likely, some do come around and change their minds, but they are most likely not going to enjoy a life as a house cat. So then we look at what are some other options. If they cannot stay where they are, where can they go where they will have a caretaker? And of course, be spayed and neutered, provide those vaccinations and those important things to them. So, you know, it is a popular conversation and there's a lot being done, but there's also more that needs to be done. And I think we could have all the veterinarians. It's a very common thing for the community. We have a lot of wonderful veterinarians, but no matter what, there's just the need is greater. So.
Johnny, anything to add to that?
No, that was it ticked a lot of the boxes. And spay and neutering is the biggest one. And I know, like she was saying, there's a number of resources and groups that are all about that, about, you know, feral cats and trying to, you know, maintain that. So you can find a number of those to reach out to. But I think the number one thing is trying to keep the population down through spaying and neutering. Mm-hmm. I know there's a number of low cost things about town that are very easy to research. And I think we have a few of those resources at the cafe if you ever want to stop in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Keith. You said you're not a cat person, but I'm going to add not a cat person yet. So thank you for calling. Stay on the line so you can listen in. So do we think, so cats obviously have this popularity. Do we think another animal could reach a similar where they could carry their own video fest, or is that just wishful thinking?
You know, I do recall that there was an effort to do a dog video fest, and it we're not sitting here talking about it years later, so I don't know. I love dogs too. I really do, but I don't know.
There already is a dog video fest. You turn on the USA Network when they play the Westminster Kennel Club dog show.
There actually was a dog video fest, and we ran out of time with Will. That was one of my questions for him. And it was not as popular as cat video fest. I don't know if Will was involved. That was one of the things I was going to ask him. But we're not going to see like lizard fest or what other animals could we get? Like,
you know, I will say the mouse and rat owners, the rat owners really love rats. And people are surprised by that. People are surprised at how much they have personalities and things. But I think if there's a competition, it may be the rats. It may be the rats.
That or rabbits, I think, like you were saying,
rabbits,
like bunny video fest. Because like, when they get excited, they do like these little, like they run around, they jump, and they do like little 360s. And
that's true.
Watch that for sure. So when you mentioned rats, I was laughing. So every year, one of the things that we do at the Little for Cat Video Fest, and one of my favorite things, is we have people email me their pictures of the cats, which is great because then my inbox is filled with cats, which is the dream. And I'm sorry, it's actually too late to do it now, so I shouldn't mention, don't email me cats now. But you can email me cats, they just won't get on the big screen. But we play them before the movie, so it's just cycling through cat after cat. And again, that's something so fun to watch as a community. But what made me think of this was I put a little bonus content in there. One of our staff members, Grace, had a rat, a beloved rat, Garlic, who passed away. Unfortunately, so as a tribute, we put Garlic in there. So you see cat, and then just a rat pop up as well. So are you guys anything that you're looking forward to with Cat Video Fest? Will kind of broke down the, you know, what to expect. Is there anything that you particularly look forward to with this?
Smiles. I think just lots of smiles.
Yeah, and you know, it's selfishly from a business owner standpoint, I know that there's a lot of people that will filter down from the theater down to, you know, our side of East Ave and see the cats. So there's, you know, obviously it'll bring a few eyes to the cat cafe that didn't know that we were there, and they might even meet their, you know, future forever friend. Mm-hmm. And then also I might see if I can sneak away because I'm really curious about this this pottery making cat.
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah, I think, for anyone who's kind of on the fence about going, remember that you're going to have a good time, but it's also for a good cause. And, you know, think of all those cats that are looking for new homes, and that you going to have a good time is making a donation towards them as well.
Yeah, so to reiterate, Cat Video Fest is playing at the Little Theater this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, August 3rd and 4th, and a portion of the proceeds will be donated to Lollipop. Before we go, we're running a little low on time, but Johnny, I did, when you were talking a little bit about people going down the street to the Cat Cafe, the Positive Cat Cafe, it got me thinking, I think we haven't talked too much about what that is. If no one's been to a cat cafe, how does it work? Like, you can still order food, but there's also the room with the cats. Can you just give us a little breakdown of what it's like?
Absolutely.
To visit?
Yeah. So it's an admission to get in to our room full of cats, which right now is at 29.
And people have to book ahead of time. Am I correct with that? Yeah, or is that preferred?
It's preferred that you book ahead of time, but you can do walk-ins if we have the availability. So just keep that in mind. And then, it's $6 for a half hour visit, $10 for an hour to spend the time with the cats. And we have our own unique drink menu, and we serve our snacks, which are all from Redfern.
Oh, cool.
So that way, if anyone has any sort of dietary restrictions.
So they're vegan. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then with that hour, you can either sit down on the couch, you know, sit with a cup of coffee, a cat can jump on your lap. We have umpteen wand toys that you can use to make the cats jump around. There are a lot of times people will show up at about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. It's like, gosh, they're all asleep. And I'm like, this is what's happened for the last 4 hours. You know, because we do allow kids. So, you know, the cats are trying to match the kids' energy, which if you have kids, I'm sure you can empathize to that. So yeah, in the afternoon, it's usually like, you know, kind of more closer to like nap and pet us time.
Mm-hmm. I have found that the cat cafe is a great first date spot. It's a very good date spot.
I have seen many a good one, and I've seen many one that I wished I could have intervened in. But I try to stay out of that. I just own the place. Do what you will while you're inside, as long as you're not hurting the cats.
You just got to train the cats to bring like flowers or something to the date. There's a magic to it, or certain quality you need to have, I think.
You want to make sure your potential date likes cats. So, you know, if yes. you're going to date them, they're going to need to like need cats. That. So you want to make sure it goes well.
We've had a few that have like, said, okay, we're going to go here. And they're like, there's cats here. And then the one person's like, yeah, that's, you know, just to see how they kind of behave around. Like, a lot of them are usually just like, what's it doing when it's looking at you, tail pointing straight up in the air? It's like, hi, I'm a cat. Pet me.
All right. Any final thoughts, Vicky? Anything that people should know if they want to adopt a cat?
Oh, come out, visit our counselors, talk. There's cats of all kinds, you know, all personalities. So come meet your perfect match if you're looking to adopt a cat. And if you're not looking to adopt, go enjoy the festival. And part of the proceeds will go to Lollipop. So thank you for that.
Vicky Pape from Lollipop, thanks for joining us. Real quick, Johnny Denman, co-owner of Positive Cat Cafe, thanks for joining us.
Ned, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening, too. This has been a great hour. I love talking about cats. I'm Scott Pukas, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Thank you for listening to member-supported public radio. We'll talk to you next time.